You have your Bibles open to the passage of Scripture that we read from a moment ago. As most of you know that are regular attenders here, we've been working our way through the book of Galatians for some time now, and now we have kind of stopped at the fruit of the Spirit, and we're examining each one of the fruit of the Spirit. I think it was actually 2 weeks ago that we began this message on the subject of peace, and some guest speakers and things, and we had VBS, and we wanted to go along with that last Sunday, and so now we're here, and we're going to review just a few moments regarding this fruit of the Spirit. And the theme along the way has been a new way to walk, a new way to walk. And the only way we can walk in peace is with a relationship from the Lord Jesus Christ at salvation. And so we're going to be looking at several passages in the Bible. So I hope you have your Bibles ready as we turn to several. The first thing that we looked at last time, by way of an outline, was peace from above. Turn with me in your Bible. First 2 points quickly, and to the last point of the message this afternoon. John chapter 14, verse number 27, peace from above. And we see in John 14, 27, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth." That ought to be something that you underline in your heart today. The world cannot give you peace. The world will give you a false peace. The world will try to give you peace. It has so many different ways of giving us peace, but Jesus here said, "I'm going to give you peace not like the world gives." The world's peace comes and goes based on circumstances. The peace of God passeth all understanding. And so there's no way that the world can give me the peace that God can give me. Verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Turn over to chapter 16 in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 16, thinking about this peace that is from above. John 16 and verse 33, we read, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have" what? "Tribulation." So the world will not give you peace. Instead, the world will give me tribulation. The world will give me difficulties. The world will give me struggles. Jesus said, "I'm going to give you something, and we call it peace. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So if Jesus has overcome the world, and He has, then He is the source of peace. We saw letter A, peace with God. Peace with God. And by the way, this is vital. Let's quickly look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. This is so vital. I don't know. I think probably most of you were here when we started this, but I don't think everyone was here that day. I don't want to overlook this thought. Peace with God. So many people, I've heard them say that I've got to make peace with God. I've got to make peace with God. And you know, today we sit here, we stand here in very wonderful setting, and just a week ago we were praying for our dear brother Art, that God would take him home. And I had the privilege of going to see him on Sunday night after church, and his daughter was there and two other friends were there, and we sang some hymns and we read some scripture. We prayed together just as if brother Art was listening, and I know he was. He wasn't able to sing, he wasn't able to talk to us, but I believe he was able to hear what we were doing. And within 24 hours, Art Sauer was in the presence of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the reason why he was able to go from the hospital bed to walking on street of gold is because of the peace of God that he received. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith." Notice what it does not say. It doesn't say we are justified through the church. It doesn't say we are justified through good works. To be justified means to be made right. It doesn't say we are justified by rubbing beads. You can rub those beads until they aren't beads anymore. You're not going to be justified. You can do whatever you want to do. You can get baptized 10 times. That doesn't make you justified. It just makes you waterlogged, okay? You can do all that you want to do, but the Bible says very clearly here how we are justified. Romans chapter 5, that we are justified by faith, and because of that, we have peace with who? God. You don't know if you have peace with God. It doesn't come through a church. It doesn't come through a denomination. It doesn't come through ritualism. It doesn't come through traditionalism. Notice where the peace comes from. Through Jesus Christ. It's in the end of the verse. And so the only way that we can have peace with God is, letter B, through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin has been given to you and given to me at birth, but yet we also have chosen to sin many, many times. And so we've got to make peace with the holy God, and thankfully the Lord provided that. God provided that. Many today are crippled by the effects of guilt. By the way, Jesus Christ died to remove all guilt. Today, if you're saved, don't allow the devil to keep bringing up your past. As I said that day a few weeks ago, if he does, just remind him of his future. And his future is the lake of fire forever. And our future in heaven, our future as believers, is in heaven. That gives me great peace. That gives me great hope. Then we saw big number two, peace from within. Turn over to Romans chapter 15 quickly. Romans chapter 15. Peace for within. God did not simply save us to have peace with him, although that was the primary reason and obviously the most important reason, but he also saved us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory now. He saved me to live my life not in fear, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible says here, and now the God of hope, amen, the God of hope, everybody here who's a child of God, you have hope. Fill you with all what? Joy, and what's the next thing? Peace, in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This peace from within, letter A, it we said is a grace of the Holy Spirit. The peace that I need can only be found once I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not only does it make peace with God, but it gives me peace within. Every day of my life, I am at peace. I can be at peace with myself because of God. Not because of who I am, but because God has given me the grace abounding of peace. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. This is the first 2 points in warp speed. Philippians chapter 4, not only do we find letter A, that it is a grace of the Holy Spirit, but we also find that letter B, this peace that God has for you, this peace that God has for me, is beyond description. It is beyond description. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That's where we get the idea that it is beyond description. It's beyond understanding. And we've seen Bible characters all through the Word of God that died and went through very difficult things. How could they do that? And we read of Christians, Even in the early days of the church, who were persecuted for their faith and who endured things. How could they go through those things? How could a Peter be sleeping the night before he was to be killed the next day? How could Peter go to bed and have a night's sleep with something like that? I believe it's because Peter was filled with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It is beyond description. And we talked about the word worry. That's what it means there, to be careful for nothing. It means we're not supposed to worry about anything. We mentioned about the word worry coming from a German word that means to choke. That is exactly what worry does in my life. It chokes out the joy of the Lord. It chokes out the peace of God. Folks, there is nothing in your life worth worrying over. Because most of the time, it is nothing that you can do anything about anyway. Do we believe in a sovereign God? Yes or no? Yes, I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. And I believe that He is a good God. I believe that everything that God does is for my good and ultimately for His glory. That is the God who saved you. That is the God who saved me. That is the God who allowed the Lord Jesus Christ to put on flesh and come and be murdered by sinful men and murdered because of my sin, that someday I might have a home in heaven. And if you're saved today, you would have a home in heaven. What is there worth worrying over? I submit to you, nothing. God's hand is on everything. You believe that? God has the world in His hand. And that means God has you in His hand. And God will not allow anything into my life that He doesn't think is for my good, for my growth in Christ. And so it is beyond description. The peace of God is invincible no matter how difficult the trial becomes. And we talked about the peace of God is sustained by the Word of God. And we said the peace of God will also rule in our heart. And that's where we left off just a couple of weeks ago. And so now that brings us to the third point. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. And we'll try to slow down a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12. Not only, number one, do we see that peace is from above. And not only, number two, do we see that peace is for within. But number three, we're going to see that we ought to have, number three, peace all the time. Peace all the time. Look at chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews, please. Verse 14. Bible says there, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That first phrase of Hebrews 12, 14 says, follow peace with all men. Would you turn over to another chapter 12, only this time the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. The Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with how many men? All men. With all men. This is somewhat of a humorous thought, but it seems like many of the problems that you have and that I have in my life can be traced back to people. Can you imagine if it was just you on the earth? There would be no disagreements, right? There would never be any squabbles. No, I think we'd probably figure out a way to argue with ourselves, probably. I've done that before, and I'm sure you've done that before. Many of the problems we have in life can be traced back to people, and yet God's Word is very clear that He wants us to be, and again, this is really not just for the saved, but it's really only available in this level for the saved, because this is a fruit of the Spirit. And so this is a fruit that is given to someone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and so this is something that if you're not saved, please consider that peace with God needs to be made first. So, letter A, here's the thought. Peace all the time. Letter A, at home. At home. An illustration goes this way. A husband says to his wife before the first hockey or football game of the season, is there anything you want to say before the season starts? Talk to me now, because when the puck drops, I won't be able to talk to you until they hand out the Stanley Cup. Or until they give out the Larry O'Brien trophy. Or not Larry O'Brien. Whatever the one for the Super Bowl is. On the flip side, ladies, here's one for you. A woman returns home from a shopping spree. You don't want to leave out our shoppers now, do we? Her arms loaded with bags, and her husband meets her at the door and says, "What did you buy?" This is a personal illustration for you from this week. Anyone? Anyone? No, don't raise your hand. What did you, you know, the joke at my house is, "But I saved you so much money. It would have cost this much." You know, anyway. With prices as high as they are, this is the man, right? "I'll bet you spent a fortune. I hate to think what has happened to our nest egg," his wife said defensively as she began to put her packages on the table. "The old hen got tired of sitting on it." You have to think about that one. That's the wife saying it, by the way. Time to spend some of that money. You know what? It's funny. Sports, money. You know what? Disagreements come to every marriage. Conflict comes to every home. And while they may start out funny, they don't always end up that way. While they may start out joking, but it doesn't always end up that way. Disagreements will come to every marriage. Disagreements will come to every friendship, and they don't have to be handled like going into guerrilla warfare. If it's your husband or your wife that we're talking about, God has brought that individual into your life. There is such a thing as negotiation. Amen? There is such a thing as communication. Without the TV on, without the cell phone in our hands. Hello? There is such a thing as talking to one another. Talking to one another. I know it's a new thing. I'll tell you this, though. We did it continuously when we were dating. This is not just a message for the married people, okay, if you're not married. But I have to talk about this for a few moments. This is not just something we talked continuously when we were dating. It was the only thing we thought about was her or him. We were smitten over their beauty or his muscles or whatever. The good thing that wasn't the case for me, because I don't have any. We were attracted to them in some way. God brought us together, and we were communicating and we were talking, and we were, hey, here's something new. We were writing notes, Brother James, on paper. What is that? Text messages and email. No. We wrote notes to one another. You see, like Pastor Nathan said a moment ago, relating to the home, he related it to teenagers. But I'll tell you this, combat in marriage will always bring ruin. I found this quote, "Conflict is inevitable, combat is optional." Sir, you are choosing to either negotiate or go to combat. And the Bible says to have peace with all men. You know what? It's not speaking of males. It's speaking of mankind. Ma'am, you have the option to communicate and negotiate, or you have the option to combat. Go to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. We were there a moment ago. Peace all the time. Letter A, peace in the home. Do we not need a little more peace in our marriages? Do we not need a little more peace in our relationships with our children? Do we not need a little more peace in the home? Yes, we do. The answer to all of those rhetorical questions is yes, all of them. Do we not, and we're going to get to other relationships, but I want to spend the first moments, few moments regarding this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. "But if ye But if ye bite and devour one another, you know, let me say this. How good do we feel at the end of combat with our husband or wife? You know, that win, you know, I love to win. We played a game of Sorry the other night. Hopefully nobody's videoing that. I love to win. I won't tell you who won. Humility prevents me from telling you who won. I mean, this game lasted forever. It's like an hour of Sorry. Back and forth, back and forth. I don't play a game to play a game, Keisha. I play a game to win. That's the only thing I know. But you know what? When it comes to marriage, it's a whole new way of thinking. It ought to be. A disagreement comes and I win. Did I really win? A disagreement comes and I seemingly got the last word in. Did I really win? No, I didn't. If my wife got the last left hook in, did she win? No, she didn't win. Paul says here, relating to the church, but I believe we can also apply it to our relationships. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Some of the best marriage researchers can even predict with high degree of certainty if a marriage will succeed or fail simply based on how a couple deals with conflict. Every marriage in the room is going to have conflict. If you think you're going to be the one to avoid it, you are greatly mistaken. And somebody's been selling you something that isn't true. You are going to have, and I am going to have, conflict. Humility in the home goes a long way to creating a peaceful environment. Go with your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. Peace all the time, letter A, in the home. I said this to the men at the retreat. Our sons are learning how to be husbands by our example. If you have sons at home still, listen. Your son is learning how to be a husband by your example, Dad. A husband. I have to admit that's pretty convicting, because some of the example that my son saw wasn't always peaceful and it wasn't always a good one. By the grace of God, I'm praying that Caleb will be a husband and soon to be father in December. I pray that he'll be whatever the best that God could have for him to be. But unfortunately, my example in many times wasn't the best. And that's the case for all of us here as men and moms as women. So how do I manage my disagreements? Look what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Since disagreements are going to come into every marriage, it is important that I manage them properly. By the way, I'll just use this opportunity to say that we have a couples retreat in the month of October. I believe it's October 12 and 13. Pastor Kirby Campbell and his wife, Kelly, are going to come, and they're going to be with us at the retreat, and then they'll be with us here on Sunday. It's for all married couples. It's going to be in Chilliwack this year, and it's going to be on a Friday night. It'll start Friday afternoon at about 11, and it'll go till Saturday at 11. It's 24 hours only. That's not a whole lot, by the way. But I would encourage you to prayerfully consider being a part of that couples retreat. October, I think it's whatever, I might be wrong, it's in your bulletin, 12 or 13. That's an opportunity to help you and help me as a husband and help you as a wife to have that peace in the home that God desires. Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with what? Grace. I think all of us would recognize that not only in a husband and wife relationship, but in any relationship, in any friendship, our tongues can be not too graceful at times. Our tongues can be so quick and destructive. It's such a little member, the Bible says, right? It's a little member. Let it always be seasoned with grace. Always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt preserves, right? My word should preserve the relationship that I have with my wife or with my with friends and so forth. This is just not for the marriage relationship. That ye may know how ye ought to answer who? Every man. Now we all know this. We all know this, especially if you got a quick tongue. We know that there are many times when the flesh takes over, and in a husband and wife relationship, you say, well, I know how I want to answer her. Well, that may not be too graceful or seasoned with salt. Maybe you have to take a step or two back. Say, God, I need to be a husband that speaks with grace. I need to be a brother in Christ that speaks with grace to my fellow brother. I need to be a sister in Christ who speaks with seasoned with grace. That you might know how to answer every man. If we avoid disagreements, so a disagreement's going to come. If we avoid them, here's something I wrote down. They will grow, grow, grow. A husband and a wife have had a disagreement and they haven't settled it. They haven't talked it out, seasoned with salt, with grace. It's kind of like that me. It's kind of like me dealing with a car that has a problem. You just leave it and leave it and leave it and leave it, and it'll just go away. No, it doesn't go away. It grows. You know, today, if you have bitterness in your life, I'll tell you this right now, if you have bitterness in your life, it is not staying the same size as it was when you first grabbed a hold of it. It is growing, it is growing, it is growing. And you know what? You might even have bitterness toward your spouse right now for some reason, of something that happened 5 years ago. And I tell you this, you need to come down to this altar right now, when we have the invitation later in just a few minutes, you need to come down to this altar and you need to say, God, I am sorry for that bitterness. You need to repent to a holy God, and then you need to get your bride or your husband and you need to talk to them and you need to work this thing out and not let it grow, grow, grow. Because you know where it will grow to? Your marriage will end. That is the devil's, by the way, the devil's goal for every marriage in this room right now is destruction. And a lot of it has to do with the lack of communication that we have in our marriages. And men, can I just say this lovingly? Men, we're supposed to be the leaders. Probably one of our weakest things to do is talk in marriage. We love to talk about a lot of other things. We need to be the leaders in our home to grab that bride by the hand softly and lovingly and look her right in the eyeballs and say, dear, it is God's plan that our marriage be a peaceful marriage. It is God's plan that our marriage would show, especially, and not just for only, but especially those of us that have eyes watching us, that our marriage would show them a Christ-honoring marriage. Peace all the time. Letter A, at home. Letter B, at church. At church. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Let's go from the house to the church house now. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. God wants us as Anchor Baptist Church to be a church that is built on the peace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 33. The Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion. Amen? I'll tell you what, the devil is, though. If God isn't, we know who is, right? Amen? The devil wants this church to be going in 30 different directions. That is not peaceful. That is confusion. We need to go the way of the Word. Amen? The way of the Word. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all, what? Churches of the saints. Now, unfortunately, too many churches have been torn apart. Too many churches have been torn apart because of a lack of peace. Too many churches have been torn apart because of confusion. Too many churches have been torn apart because of pride. That is not what God intends for this church or for any church that is built on the Word of God. The intention of God for this church is that it be a church filled with laborers of the Lord, working together, striving together peacefully. If there is anyone, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again lovingly, if there's anyone in this room that you would not feel comfortable going up to right now unless you just met them, there's something between you and another brother in this room that is not from God. Amen? It's not from God because He is not the author of confusion. The devil is. Then you know what you need to do? You need to come down to this altar and you need to talk to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I let something come between me and another brother, and it's petty. Forgive me, God, because He's the first person that you need to talk to. And then you need to go to that person, you need to go to that sister, you need to go to that brother, and you need to say, would you please forgive me? It's not good that we don't have peace amongst one another. That's not how God intended it. The last place in the world that we should come and not be at peace with one another is God's house. But many times in churches just like this one, and I'm just going to use this as an example, one person sits on this side and one person sits as far away on this side as they can. And they come to the same church. They say they love the same God, but yet they're not at peace. You know what's hurting with that? What's hurting with that is the cause of Christ. God says you need to have peace with all men all the time. That is not how God intended it to be. Turn to Romans chapter 16, please. Romans chapter 16. Again, what prevents me from telling someone that I'm sorry? What prevents you from going to someone and apologizing if it's necessary? If it's your husband, if it's your wife, if it's your children, if it's your parents, if it's a brother or sister in Christ, what is it that's preventing us from making peace with someone in the church or in the home? It is pride. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him. Number one, proud look. God hates pride. God hates my pride. God hates your pride. Look at Romans chapter verse number 17, the Bible says there, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Wait a minute. You just said to go over and shake their hand and tell them that I'm sorry and whatever. Well, you know, there does come a time where the devil will send people into the local church like this one with one main objective, and that's to divide. They're tools of the devil. Sometimes they look just like you and look just like me and say amen just like you and shout hallelujah just like you and sing the hymns just like you. That's why we need to have discernment. That's why we need to be close to the Word of God. That's why we need to, when you hear and you hear someone that's talking and it sounds like they're trying to divide and they're trying to set up their own agenda, we need to go to the pastor and say, Pastor, I don't know, maybe this is nothing, but thought you might want to know this. See, the devil wants to divide Anchor Baptist Church. The devil wants to divide the home. He wants to divide the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 3, Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I've got one more point. Letter C, peace in our world. Go with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Every day you can read somewhere, I'm sure, about this thought. Let her see peace in our world. Thank you for listening. The Bible says in Romans 3, 17 and 18, "And the way of peace have they not known." And the way of peace have they not known. Why didn't they know the way of peace? It says it in verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We can just live however we want. We can just do whatever we want. We can act accordingly. Whatever feels good, we're just going to do it. We're not worried about what may come as a result of it. We're going to live this way and drink this way and smoke this way and do all this way. We're just going to do whatever we want. It's my life anyway. That's no fear of God before their eyes. And that's no peace either. Not at all. So what must we continue to do? We must continue to preach Christ so that our world can find the peace that we have found. That is indescribable, that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn quickly to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Peace in our world comes by preaching Christ, and I trust that in some way you're preaching Christ. Oh, you don't need a pulpit to preach Christ. You simply need a testimony. And if you're saved, you have one. It's what Christ has done in your life. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Peace in our world comes, number one, by preaching the message of the gospel of Christ. Peace in our world comes, number two, by faithfully praying for leaders. We see here the Apostle Paul says that we need to be giving thanks and making intercession and giving of prayers for all men. At our men's prayer meeting on Sunday morning, we have a section there, and we have the Prime Minister, and we have the Premier, and we have a Member of Parliament, and we have the Mayor of Burnaby. Quite frankly, I don't know if any of those politicians are saved. They will never understand the peace that God can give. They can try to negotiate it, they can try to work through it and find it, but it's not going to come apart from a relationship with Christ. How often do we pray for those that are in authority over us? The only way peace is going to come is we preach Christ, pray for others. And lastly, we won't go to it, but as we expect the return of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, other passages. How has God challenged you this afternoon? Do you have peace with God yet? Are you on your way to heaven? Should you die tonight, would you be in heaven? How about your relationship with your husband or your wife or your children? How about your relationship with a brother or sister in Christ? If in some way there's not peace there right now, that's not what God intended. God intends that we live peaceably with all men.